Hello and welcome to a very special episode of The Laydown. My name is Ryan and I am so excited to share with you the interview that I did with New York Times bestselling author Ace Atkins. Ace Atkins has been nominated for every major award in crime fiction, including the Edgar three times, twice for novels about former U.S. Army Ranger Quinn Coulson. He has written 9 books in the Coulson series and continued Robert B. Parker's iconic Spencer character after Parker's death in 2010, adding 7 best-selling novels in that series. A former newspaper reporter and SEC football player, Ace also writes essays and investigative pieces for several national magazines, including Time, Outside, and Garden and Gun. He lives in Oxford, Mississippi with his family, where he's friend to many dogs and several bartenders. I had a fantastic time chatting with Ace Atkins, so let's jump into that interview. Enjoy! Hi, Ace Atkins. How are you?
Very good. I'm doing great. Book is just out, and it's great to finally be able to talk about it.
Yeah. So for our listeners who haven't gotten to read it yet, tell us a little bit about The Heathens.
So The Heathens is a story of a kid. These novels are all set in North Mississippi. A young girl, 17-year-old girl named TJ Bird, who has been accused of a pretty horrific murder, the murder of her mother. She's a tough kid. She's had to be on her own for quite some time. She's really even had to take care of her 10-year-old brother. And TJ and her boyfriend and her best friend and her brother decide to steal a minivan and get the hell out of Mississippi. And hopefully, in the meantime, people will be able to find out the real culprits of who killed her mother.
Yeah, I love TJ as a character because she is such an incredible example of don't judge a book by its cover, right? Because she's a tough kid, you know? She's had some scraps with the law. She's a scrappy girl. She's had some issues, but that doesn't mean that she did this horrible thing. And I really appreciate that Quinn Coulson really relates to that. He really sees that. And he's like, I don't think she did it. And everyone else is like, nah, she definitely did it. He's like, what? I don't think so.
I think for her is, there's a lot of kids like TJ that have to grow up very quickly and they have to do whatever they need to have done to make the ends meet and to take care of her little brother. So Quinn understands that, she's done some questionable things, but maybe for the right reasons. But TJ's a lot, I've known girls and they're certainly tough young women like that. And I've always had a great amount of respect for her. So I love writing for TJ. She was somebody I really admired.
Yeah. That really comes through. She's an awesome character. Now you were, before you were a novelist, you were a crime reporter, right?
That's right. Yeah. 20 years ago, before I became a novelist, I was a newspaper reporter in Florida. I worked for both the Tampa Tribune and for the St. Petersburg Times. And that's what I did. I covered crime and I covered a little bit of the courthouse. And through those experiences, I got to meet a lot of great people in law enforcement. I got to see a lot of interesting cases covered, but also got to, run across some really horrific things as well. And this particular story is not the story of something that I covered, but it is, it inspired this novel. And it was something that has stayed with me for 20 years and ultimately found its way out through TJ telling the story.
Wow. Yeah. I can't even imagine the types of things you must have seen. Because I think, I read that, one of your novels, White Shadow was also based on something that you won the Pulitzer for. Yes.
No, I didn't win the Pulitzer. I got a nomination, but
I'm giving you too much credit.
Hundreds of people get nominated. But it was a good story, and it was a true story. But the difference between White Shadow is pretty much spot on with trying to recreate that world. It was about a murder case from the 1950s, and part of it takes place in Tampa, and part of it takes place in Cuba, and it's a really gritty crime story. But I try to get it as authentic as possible as far as what had happened in the real life events. But give you a little background on The Heathens, the case that I covered in Tampa. There was a girl, 14-year-old girl named Valesa Robinson, who was accused of killing her own mother, along with the help of her boyfriend and another friend. And they went on the run from the law. And this was in 1999. And during that chase, people kind of, law enforcement zeroed in very quickly that she was the one who did it. And ultimately she was convicted of the crime and spent time. But the idea for me was, as a novelist, was what if she had been innocent? And what if these kids running from the law had no other recourse but just to leave town and not to, having no one to listen to them. And so, and the frustration they must feel. And so the idea that this was somebody who had actually not done a horrendous crime, they had just been accused of it, is how the heathens really got started.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's so interesting reading it. And like, you're seeing other characters be like, well, she's just a bad kid. She's been bad since she was born. So she must have done it. And like the frustration that I was feeling as a reader, like, okay, yeah, she's done some bad stuff, but like to accuse her of murder.
Well, and I think that, you know, it was the original story that I covered. Everyone asked a question. It was a huge story, you know, 20 years ago. It was on all the national news stories. And it was, I think why so many people were interested in it is because people wanted to know is how could a kid like this have committed a crime so horrible? Because she lived in a very nice neighborhood. She had a swimming pool. She had a mother that was a successful realtor. She went to a good school. And so parents and people that were tuned into this case, they were like, how could a kid like this do this? But TJ is not from that world. TJ is grown up very hard scrabble in Mississippi. Her mother is a total, you know, washout. She's a drug addict. And TJ's had to become a mother to her own brother and has had to fulfill the role as parent from the time she was like 14 or 15. So in TJ's case, everyone is asking, how could she have not done it? Because she's a girl that's lived a very gritty existence and nobody wants to hear her side of the story.
Yeah. Oh, poor TJ. it's a great book. I blew through it.
I said the other day, and I agree. I mean, when I was writing it, I was really almost writing it. It's almost like a YA book. And that's really kind of what I wanted to feel. I think that, you know, that's the, you know, I think when people see there's a man on the cover with a gun is they think it's going to be a big macho kind of thing. And it's not. It's really about a road trip and a self-discovery of a bunch of kids. And I had a lot of fun writing it. And I miss these characters. I know that sounds very weird, but I think maybe it was the pandemic. But yeah. Very, very emotionally attached to all these people.
Oh, I love that. So you are very prolific. So what does your writing process look like? Do you like, cause you're also writing, you took over the Robert B. Parker series as well. So you are putting out a lot of books all the time.
I'm pretty busy. I have to admit though, it's not quite as busy as the days when I was a newspaper reporter because it's you go out and you had to actually, you know, investigate the story. You had to do interviews. You had to do your research. You had to do that every day. So this pace has slowed down for me considerably since that time. But you know, here I am in my office. I come here. This is my job. I work regular hours. You know, go to the coffee shop, and this is just my job. You know, and it's a great job, and I'm very fortunate to have it. But the main thing I do is I work almost every day. I might take one day off on the weekend. But because of the deadline of doing a book that is this very Southern-based series that I do, but also for the last 10 years working for the Robert Parker Estate, it is a high production schedule. And it is, in order to be met, there's not a lot of days off. But, you know, it's a fun job.
Yeah. My uncle used to work for the Boston Herald. And so I got to see that life a little bit. I got to visit every once in a while and see.
Oh, yeah. The world of, you know, the big city newsroom, nothing like it. It's some of the most fun times I've ever had in my life. I absolutely adored every minute of it. I really did.
Yeah, it's an exciting place to be for sure. What was it like taking over the Robert B. Parker series? What was that process like?
Well, I'd always admired Parker a great deal, and he was one of my heroes. And when Mr. Parker passed away in 2010, it was known that his family, his wife, and his kids were interested in seeing Spencer live on, and they wanted to hire another writer to keep this going. And so I was at the same publisher at Putnam, and my editor said, hey, would you be interested in throwing your hat in the ring. Would you be interested in doing this? And I said, yeah, I love these books. I admire Parker a great deal, because I think what Parker did, and hopefully what I try to do, is I think that they're crime stories with a fair amount of humor in them. And mm-hmm. they're not books that are going to make you cry, or, you know, it's not, you know, I don't write, you know, super thriller women in the window kind of books and all. Yeah, I don't write that. I've really got a fair amount of humor in them. And I learned that from Parker. So anyway, I wrote, they said, could you write 50 pages of a Spencer book and we'll get back to you. And I said, sure. So I was working on something else. And they said, do you need to prep? Do you need to, you know, do you need to look at, can we send you his backlist to get familiar with the character? And I was like, are you kidding me? I said, I've read every one of his books. And maybe the books multiple times. And they said, well, when can you start? And I said, well, I'll start today. And I started this book called Lullaby. Mm-hmm. And that was back at the end of 2010. And I kind of forgot about it. And I was working on another story. And then around Christmas, I got a call and said that his longtime agent and his longtime editor and his wife and kids were unanimous that they thought I was the right guy to do it. And then Joan Parker, who became a wonderful friend of mine, she said, I just don't know how in Boston we didn't run across each other. This Boston writer, I thought I knew all the Boston novelists, and they had to break it to Joan that I was actually from Mississippi. And so they still kept it. They still kept me.
I love that. If they had just been like, oh, you're not from Boston. Sorry. Yeah. Deal breaker.
Yeah, I know. I got a little bit of that when I first started, you know, people were a little bit, but I think that what the estate and my editor, Chris Pepe, who had worked with Bob for many years, what they recognized is I wrote the same kind of, we had the same worldview. And I think Bob and I looked at things the same way. And I think that we came from the same world as the classic books of Dashiell Hammett and Raymond Chandler and classic fiction. And I think we had a kind of a dark comedic look at life, and that's what they saw. They knew I could get Boston. I could figure Boston out. Mm-hmm. They were more worried about getting the language right. That's,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's been a good, been doing this for 10 years and it's been a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. I've always been so curious about that when a new author takes over a series, like what that looks like. That's a really cool insight.
It's been a fun experience. I don't know how much longer that's going to last because I have so many of my own books I want to write, but it has been an honor, and it's been a great thing. I've got to know the city of Boston so well, and it's become a second home for me. So I live here where I'm talking to you now is from Oxford, Mississippi. And, you know, I've made countless trips and stays and spent a lot of time in Boston in the last 10 years. And it's just one of my favorite places in the world. And that's been one of the perks.
Yeah, I love Boston. Do you have a favorite spot in Boston?
Oh my gosh. I mean, restaurant or just spot? I mean, I love just to be able to walk, get to Boston and, you know, walk down Newbury Street or go to the Public Garden or, you know, walk along, I like Charlestown. I like the Navy Yard over there. It's just, you know, and then the food is fantastic. I get food that, you know,
such good food.
Yeah, we can't get fried haddock down here. We have catfish. We don't have haddock. So I'll find a good restaurant. And yeah, just so many wonderful, you know, I spent a tremendous amount of time in Cambridge. And nice. So Cambridge is really wonderful. And just being on the Harvard Square and really a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, I love Boston. I love there's a line in The Heathens where a customer is asking like, ah, is this fish fresh or is it frozen? And the waitress is like, yeah, it's fresh.
Yeah. Caught it right in the back, you know, that's how it is. But in Boston,
probably caught that morning.
We don't get scallops down here either.
No, probably not. You said you're very busy. You're always writing. What are you working on next?
Working on the new Spencer. This will be my 10th Spencer. It'll be the 50th book overall, the 50th Spencer book overall. So I'm in the home stretch of that book. It all takes place in Boston. Usually I'm up in Boston all the time doing research and hanging out and I'm really dedicated. If I'm writing about a place, you know, I've been there and I've spent time there. You know, I did a book there. A lot of it was in Southie. I did a lot of that stuff. And, you know, I got to work with the Boston Fire Department and all kinds of great little, that's the exploration of the city. But unfortunately with the pandemic, I have not been up in Boston as much. But hopefully when this book is over, I'll be able to, you know, reacquaint myself with the city.
Yeah, I know. It's really nice now that things are starting to open up again. We just had our first in-person event in like 15 months or something. It was very exciting. Yeah,
I just had my first in-person event on Monday. And
nice. I'm doing How did it go?
Yeah, it went great. Went great. And people, and we're being very careful. Yeah. It was an outdoor event. People were, you know, trying to socially distance, and the same thing I'm doing tonight. So unfortunately, we don't have the vaccination rates of what you guys have in Massachusetts.
Right.
So we've got to be a little bit more careful. But but it is nice to be able to. Zoom events are great. Love talking. Always great to talk about these books. But being able to meet the fans and talk to them in person is something else.
Yeah, it's been really interesting to do the big shift to online and see there are a lot of benefits to that. We were able to have authors that we wouldn't normally be able to have, things like that. But then having that first in-person event, it was like, oh, I've missed this.
Yeah, it's totally something special, and be able to talk to the crowd and. It's great. It's great. Ugh. Hopefully things will continue in a good path.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. What have you, I know you're obviously busy with writing, but have you been doing any good reading recently? Have you read anything that you want to recommend?
Sure. I'm always, I've heard writers often say that they don't like to read while they're writing because they feel like it bleeds into their work or whatever. And I had to give away that luxury long ago, because if I, didn't read while I was writing, I'd never have a chance to read.
Yeah.
There's a book I'll recommend called The House Uptown, written by a woman named Melissa Ginsberg. She is a friend of mine, but also beyond that, she's a fantastic writer. It is really a coming of age story about a teenage girl, only this one is set in New Orleans. It does involve a crime, but I wouldn't call it a crime novel, but it's a beautiful, if anyone who wants to learn a little bit about New Orleans, it's a fantastic story. I'm reading Sean Cosby, S.A. Cosby's new book, Razorblade Tears, which is fantastic. I'm right in the middle of that. Joe Lansdale, always one of my favorites. And so that's the great thing of, there's always something great and new coming out that really impresses me. And hopefully when I finish this new Spencer, I've got about 25 books on my nightstand that I need to get to.
Yeah, that sounds about right. My computer right now is propped up in front of my to read shelf. It's just, and even that I'm like, oh, actually there's probably more than what's here. But
these are just my collection. This is not even my reading material.
Yeah. And it's dangerous when you're in this business because you have access to so many more books than the average Joe, who's just I'll stop into the bookstore this weekend. Oh. It's like, oh, I am being inundated constantly with new books.
Oh my gosh. I mean, there are certain writers that I'll, bump up the list. Another one of my favorite writers working today is a guy named William Boyle. He writes a lot about primarily about Brooklyn, and he writes about the world of Brooklyn. He writes these terrific, gritty, funny female characters. He has a book out called City of Margins. But again, it's, I really am drawn to the books that have some humor in them. And it may be dark humor, it may be edgy humor, but I just, these days, I cannot stomach anything that doesn't have kind of a wry point of view. And William Boyle, I think, is one of the best working today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so legit. I so appreciate a little bit of levity in a book, especially after the time that we've had.
Yeah, I can't take it. I cannot take the brooding, whatever. And I just don't enjoy books that are completely humorless. I think when I was a newspaper reporter, we had to, you had to laugh a little bit or you'd go insane. And I think it's the same thing with people that work in law enforcement or anything. You've got to have kind of a, somebody called it gallows humor, but you have to look at something in a, in a wry kind of funny way, or, you're not going to get through it.
You'd lose it. Yeah, you got to be able to find humor in things or you'll just, 100%. Ace Atkins, I think that's all I have for you. I know you're busy with your tours and interviews and all that, but I am so looking forward to hand-selling The Heathens to everyone. It is fantastic. Gosh. It's a great book. It's full of great characters and an awesome mystery. So thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Thanks, Ryan. It's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for the questions and talking about TJ. She really was a fun one to write. So thanks again.
She's awesome. Have a great day.
Thank you again to Ace Atkins for chatting with me. The Heathens is available now. You can email us about the podcast at thelaydownpodcast@gmail.com. Our website is gibsonsbookstore.com, and we're also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, and we'll put those links in the show notes along with all of the books mentioned during this interview. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks. Bye!